Welcome to the Food for Thought podcast. I'm Andy Hanasek, senior editor of Food Processing Magazine. In today's episode, our very own editor-in-chief, Dave Fusaro, stops by the studios to tell you all about his trip to Natural Products Expo West. Fusaro is a veteran attendee of the show, not an old veteran, just a veteran attendee of the show. And in this episode, he'll recount the sights and some of the tastes that caught his eye and his palate while in Anaheim this spring. From mushroom-based products to tinned fish, Fusaro discusses a variety of products that exhibitors had on display and how this show can affect the overall product development and R&D trends, and sometimes predict them, in the food and beverage industry. I hope you enjoy today's episode. Dave, thanks so much for joining me today on the Food for Thought podcast. This is, for our listeners, a special treat. We've got two editors on a podcast episode. I don't know if we're going to break the internet, as they say. We shall see what happens here. Definitely wanted to talk to you about your trip to the Natural Products Expo West. Sounded like you saw a lot of great things. You're an old veteran of the show, so it would be great to get your insights and talk a little bit about the show and some of the things that were on display there. So thanks for joining me, Dave.
Thank you, Andy. And I'm a veteran of the show. I'm not an old veteran of the show. Okay.
Sorry. You know, it is what it is, right?
I guess. Yeah, I'm afraid I is what it is, what I is too. So.
Oh, boy. Well, this is starting out great as a great episode, Dave. I will try to refrain from aging how long you've been at the show, but I guess tell us a little bit about that show and how long you have been attending it as an editor, as a journalist that covers the food industry as we do here.
Yeah, well, I don't mind admitting I've been going to that show for, I think, 15 years. Every year it's held in Anaheim, California, in middle or early March. This year it has 65,000 attendees. It's a big show. It was the reason that they expanded the Anaheim Convention Center a few years ago. 65,000 this year, and that was about level with what they had last year. But before the pandemic, they had 75,000, and it was, they claimed it certainly was the biggest food show in North America that year, 2019. And I think it may have been the largest trade show in North America in 2019 as well. So it's a huge show. And as the name implies, it's all about natural products, somewhat synonymous with organic, but not necessarily. Food companies probably take up, I don't know, 75, maybe even 80% of the show, but they're not the only ones at the show, because there are people selling, companies selling home cleaning products and supplements and anything that, you know, a grocery buyer would want to buy that's in a natural product or an organic product. It was a different show 15 years ago. There were even people selling handmade soaps and hemp skirts. and those were the attendees, too. There were a lot of people walking around in tie-dye shirts and Birkenstocks. Now it's a very business-oriented show. It's a very big deal. And the people walking the floor always were intended to be primarily the buyers for grocery stores, especially big chains, looking around to see what was new, what small company might not be on their radar, but had a really novel product that might do well in their grocery stores. So they're looking around and trying to make deals with these up and coming companies. Again, 15 years ago, it was mostly small entrepreneurial companies trying to get noticed. And over the years, well, two things happened. Because of the success of the show, I think more big companies wanted to be there, and they wanted to be it wanted to be anywhere where there was going to be 65,000 attendees, but they wanted to be associated with natural and organic products. And a lot of them, 15 years ago, the big companies were not creating products that were that natural or that organic. And they have gravitated in that direction as well. Through acquisition or through their own product development, they really are creating natural products now.
So you're seeing companies now of all shapes and sizes exhibiting there, whereas years ago it was mostly smaller companies. Do you think that has lent any legitimacy to the whole natural products movement that these companies are now exhibiting at this show and have been doing so for several years?
Yeah, well, it goes both ways. I don't think you needed the presence of a General Mills or a ConAgra to lend legitimacy to the natural organics products movement, but being at this show lends some legitimacy to them. Again, going back, 15 years, this is where it's the show where I first met Angie Bastian, who had literally had previously been popping popcorn in a trailer outside of Minnesota Vikings games. And she started Angie's Boom Chicka Pop. And she got noticed at this show. The two women, new mothers who started Happy Baby, Happy Family Company, they didn't like the kinds of baby food that was available at the time. So they started making their own very natural, organic, wholesome ingredients, baby food. Sheila G, before Sheila G's Brownie Brittle, was there too. And all these companies got bought. In all three of those, well, in certainly Happy Baby and Angie's case, by bigger food companies. Also, venture capital people. A lot of the people walking the aisles these days are venture capital people, and they're looking for small companies that have a really great idea but haven't fully capitalized it. They need some money to do so, and so they buy into these small companies. This is the show where, again, 15 years ago, this one company was trying to explain Greek yogurt to me, and I just wasn't having any of it. I mean, I thought it was grainy and it was sour and it didn't have all the fruit and the sweetness that my yogurt was used to. And I'm just kind of shaking my head. And then I look up at the sign above me and I just said to myself, boy, with this product and with a name like Chobani, they're not going to be around much longer. So yeah, I have been known to be wrong once in a while, but the Chobani, there are a lot of companies, probably half of these companies at this show are not going to be around in 3 or 4 years. And the remaining half, probably a quarter of them, are going to be bought by big food companies, and the other quarter are going to be bought by venture capital companies. So those are the ones that are going to succeed, at least for a while. But this is just an interesting marketplace for entrepreneurs and really novel ideas. Some of them way out there that are not going to be successes. But going back to the companies, though, like Hormel was not there, but their Applegate Farms subsidiary was. Mars wasn't there, but their Kind cereal bar company was. And Coca-Cola wasn't there, but Topo Chico was. So I think going back to your question, the show can lend legitimacy to big companies, but they have to be, it's like greenwashing. You have to be careful how you try to connect yourself. If you don't have legitimacy, if you don't have the bona fides to be a natural products company, you better not try, or at least send your subsidiary there that really does have the bona fides to be part of the natural products movement.
Well, that actually, yeah, makes a lot of sense to me, too. You mentioned Hormel Applegate, and I remember when Hormel bought Applegate, and that was one of their big concerns, was a lot of the Applegate loyalists, the consumers out there, were very concerned that Hormel was going to just swallow up Applegate and make it into a shell of what it once was. But it sounds like they've let Applegate be Applegate for the most part in some ways. And this is one good example of that. So that's a good point. So let's shift gears here and talk about trends. You know, you mentioned some of the trends you saw in terms of companies that became something bigger, right, over the years. And you mentioned the Greek yogurt, that the trend, right? So what trends did you see there this year, or maybe even the last year or two, that stood out that are worth mentioning that you've got your eye on now?
Yeah, the show really is a good reflection or even foretelling of trends in the natural food space. I liked, all modesty aside, I really liked the headline that I put on our web story for Natural Products Expo. It was mushrooms, tinned fish, and pickleball. And by that, I mean, there was a remarkable number of products with mushrooms in them. Odyssey 222 was a mushroom-based soda, carbonated soft drink. Macalot, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, somehow made dark chocolate out of their fungus. My Forest Foods, now despite the company name, they grew their mycelium not in a forest but in a factory, but they made my bacon, and it smelled and looked just like the real thing. Meaty Foods featured whole food cutlets and steaks made from mushroom root. And Shrew Meats makes patties, shreds, and balls from shiitake. And the tin fish, the term tin fish, it's much cooler and trendier than saying canned tuna or sardines. But so were the products that were in those cans. Salmon, mussels, trout, garfish, cod liver. There were a couple of companies that exhibited that promoted themselves as tinned fish, not canned fish anymore. And the pickleball, well, it was only one booth. The company name was Tosi, and I think, Andy, you probably, like me, have putted golf balls or thrown beanbags at trade shows in the past, you know, just a way of getting people into the booth and keeping them in the booth for a minute or two. But this year, reflective of that trend in the fastest growing sport in the past year, Tosi had a little miniature pickleball court in their booth. So interesting to see how these things evolve at the show. There also were a lot of carbonated beverages, you know, soda. And you know, carbonated soft drinks have gotten such a bad rep over the past few years, but there were a lot of companies that were producing carbonated soft drinks in cans. Maybe it was a result of the hard seltzer craze of, you know, the last couple of years, but it seems to be okay to make carbonated soft drinks as long as they have probiotics, prebiotics, or adaptogens. One was a carbonated plant protein energy drink. One was made with sea moss. A trip soda, despite the name, was laced with CBD. And that seemed to be interesting. That seemed to be the only CBD-based product that I saw at the show, which in the past has had dozens of CBD products. So that little trend might be on the wane. And it seems that every Expo West brings a new plant-based milk. So this year, in addition to, you know, the macadamia milk and pistachio milk and the more common non-dairy milks, there was Maizly. A South African company was making milk from corn. That was a new one on me. Also, New Waters. New Waters appear at every Expo West, and I kind of get tired of them. I mean, it's water. I can turn the knob on my sink and get some. So obviously, a lot of people don't think like me, but some of the sources at past shows have been glaciers, Hawaiian volcanoes, even maple trees. Somehow they get water out of all these things. But this time, a new water came from, wait for it, thin air, or actually thick air. A company called Beka sucks humidity out of the air over Sonora, Mexico, to create a water that, in their words, depletes no earthly resources, not rivers, lakes, underground aquifers. It's just taking it out of the humidity in the air.
I do have to ask, though, because I'm sure our listeners want to know, how many games of pickleball did you play, and what was your record?
I didn't play a one, and I was running from one appointment to another, so I saw it. I'm not even sure if you were able to play, because, I mean, we're talking about a very miniaturized court. And these are 10 by 20 booths. You can't exactly fit much of a pickleball court in a 10 by 20 tabletop booth, but no, I didn't play. Sorry.
You probably got more of a workout running from booth to booth. So
that I did. Yeah.
All right. So, you know, all of those are, yeah, definitely amazingly novel ideas and whatnot. What else caught your eye at the show or around the show, and what else can you share with our listeners from the show that got you all excited?
Well, you know what a turducken is, right? You're a football fan. I think anybody yep. that watches football has heard about John Madden's turducken. Notions, a company from Dubai, they took an almond, inserted it into a date, and then enrobed the whole thing in chocolate. So this was kind of the turducken of confections, three things in one. And it was is actually quite good, surprisingly good. Three very different and sometimes conflicting textures, but it was tasty. Non-dairy gelatos, I know, are not new, and neither is Mochi, but Delicious put non-dairy gelato in a cookie dough, surrounded it with cookie dough for a little bite that I thought was a lot better than Mochi. I'm not a fan of Mochi. I'm not a fan of the rice-based dough that surrounds Mochi, but surround it with cookie dough, that was pretty darn good. And Yo Egg, it looked and tasted just like whole fried eggs, but it was all plant-based, chickpea and soy. And in fact, when I cut into the, I wanted to try it, and when I cut into the yolk, it's even squirted all over my briefcase. And frankly, I think I got a guy standing next to me as well. Apologies if he's listening. But that was interesting, and it looked great, and it actually tasted very great, too. Entirely plant-based fried egg. And there were chocolate bonbons everywhere, some more novel than others. But an Italian confectioner named Venci, they filled their little treat with ricotta cheese, as well as candied cherries and oranges and a gluten-free biscuit crumb, and I covered all of that with a dark chocolate shell. And that was amazingly good and very, very different.
So the last question I guess I'll ask is, you know, going back a little bit to some of the talk we just had about the show itself, how much turnover in the types of products or the trends do you typically see? You know, you mentioned the lack of CBD, for example, right? So I would assume if a trend in the industry is strong enough, it shows up at this show in consecutive years, or does it not? Do the trends change year after year, or are there some long-standing trends that you find?
Well, I think most of the trends are pretty long-standing. This show is probably the first one that brought probiotics and prebiotics, adaptogens, you know, into the vernacular of the food industry and ultimately to the attention of consumers. And those still exist at the show. They seem to be very, very long-running themes that might still be niches, but are niches that are here to stay. And especially when you're at a natural products, organic products show like this one, they're going to come up every year. I think in the past, there's been, in terms of product trends, more milks, plant-based milks. Now, they were still there, But I mean, they were making a splash. It was like, oh, can you believe it? We're actually using pea protein to create a milk. Well, that was, you know, news a couple of years ago. Not so much anymore. Everybody's making plant-based milks, especially except for that one that I mentioned from the South African company is doing corn. So there seems to be a little less of that, or at least a less, little less interest in that this year. And the CBD, though, came out of nowhere, because technically CBD is not approved as an ingredient in food. Despite that, it started popping up maybe 3-4 years ago, or even, I don't think anybody actually had THC-based products at the show, but there were certainly hints of that, that, you know, we weren't able to bring it to the show, but if you're interested in gummies with THC in them, we can get them to you. And that's completely disappeared, except for that one CBD product. I think it was, what did I say? Was it a water? So that one may be on the wane. But if anything, the show probably exemplifies that there are some natural and organic product trends that are here to stay. And that's why there's maybe not so much turnover in terms of products at the show.
For everyone listening in today to our Food for Thought podcast, thanks for tuning into this episode. You can find more of our podcasts at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and just about anywhere you can find podcasts. Stay tuned for more episodes in the future, and have a great day.